You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Happy Friday to you. I'm only going to take 60 seconds for an intro to this because I want to hear as much of this as we can. The sermon is entitled Holy Communion, the Right Way. This goes back a couple of years. I preach it here and there. Maybe think of it today because we are having Holy Communion this Sunday. You are invited to church this Sunday. My sermon is entitled The Law of Sowing and Reaping. Fire followed immediately after that by Holy Communion. We'd love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. But consider what the Apostle Paul said. Whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy or irreverent manner will be guilty of the body and guilty of the blood of the Lord. Good gosh, what a terrible curse. Who wants to be guilty of that? Here we go with this message now. The Lord's Supper, the right way. Got five blanks on here we will fill out. No better time to preach on, teach on Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, than this week when we partake of it. Amen? Amen. I could call this sermon Unholy Communion, coming together for the worse. Now, the Lord's Supper is one of the two ordinances of the church that we Baptists recognize. The other, of course, is baptism. Both of these we are instructed to do perpetually. Hence the Great Commission, go out into all the world. It's crucial for us to understand how communion is and is not to be observed. Now, this passage here today is a thorough study on this subject. I'll never forget the day, some 13 years ago, my late wife and I visited a church in Melbourne. And prior to the start of that service, I felt a tap on my shoulder. And much to my surprise, there was a basket of communion heading my way. And people were scarfing it down like candy, without even a word being said. And the music leader, I think he was the trombone player, he haphazardly presided over it, and he said, "Eat, eat." Reminds me of the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer when they're trying to make Santa Claus fat. She goes, "Eat, Santa, eat." Now that church in Melbourne was being stylish. And they didn't want to offend any people there with what they considered to be a bunch of old religious stuff. So they made Holy Communion hip. And Paul here today, in this passage we're about to get into, is saying, you better be careful how you take communion. Because it is not just a bunch of old religious, well, it is not at all a bunch of old religious stuff. It is not hip. It is sacred and holy. You know, it's funny too. You always read stories in the Bible of young people trying to make something hip. You read about Moses' brother's two sons. They want to have a hip worship service. So they brought in their own music and they did church their own way. And then the fire of God struck them down and burnt them to a crisp. You see, God is holy. And there's a proper way to worship Him. And there's a proper way to partake of Holy Communion. You see, now, although the method might have been different in the sinful way in which it was taken in Corinth, as we're about to see, the warning remains the same. And that is this:
It's on the handout too. Irreverence towards God brings judgment. Irreverence towards God brings judgment. And irreverence might not be what you think it is. The man who reached out to touch the ark when it was falling, he didn't consider that irreverence. And he still died for what he did. I love it. The Bible says, and then David feared the Lord that day. I bet. You see, there's a proper way in how we have to worship God. There's a proper way in how you partake of communion. It's not Hawaiian punch and Twinkies. You don't just pass a bunch of bread around. It says, here, enjoy. It's holy. It's holy. The blood of Jesus is holy. It's not something you can do flippantly. Now we're going to look at 5 points here today regarding Holy Communion. Number one, and number one on the handout here is the rebuke. The rebuke. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's pick it up in verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. So Paul rebuked the way the Corinthians took communion. Again, this is more like unholy communion, coming together for the worse, meaning you're worse off at the end than you were when you started. Now, I didn't say that. He says that. Paul rebukes the way they're taking communion. In verse 2 of the same chapter, he praises them. He says, now I praise you, because you remember me in all things, and you hold fast to all the traditions I've handed down to you. But here, in dealing with the Lord's Supper, in dealing with Holy Communion, he declares in no uncertain terms, I do not praise you. Verse 17, now in giving these things, I do not praise you, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Now, like that church in Melbourne I mentioned earlier, this is coming together for the worse. They ought not to take communion at all than to take it irreverently. Because irreverence towards God brings judgment. Right? The book's full of it. I'm not making this up. God is holy and there's a correct way to approach Him. Let me say before we move on, the problem is we don't see people dropping down stone cold dead anymore today like we did Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. And we don't see the judgment of God anymore like they did back then in the first days of the church. However, as we're about to see in the text, just because you might not see it, it doesn't necessarily mean that God does not hold people accountable anymore for their actions. Neither does it mean that God has mellowed out over time, like a doting grandfather. So point number one was the rebuke. Number two, the corruption. We're to fill out your line here. The corruption of the Lord's Supper. Verse 18. Now, first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Right? Isn't he sore at these people? What? We're going to explain this here coming up in a minute. Don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you hate the church of God that much? And shame those that have nothing. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. All right, two words I want to focus on here in verses 18 and 19. The first is the word division. The second is the word sect, S-E-C-T, or faction. Two different Greek words. The word division is the Greek word, is the word schism, schisma. Sect or faction, depending on your translation, is the word, ready for it? Say that again. Heresy. Heresy. Or heretic. Heretic. Schism means to tear something apart. Heresy, and I find this fascinating, heresy is defined this way. Quote, heresy can be a divergent opinion, but still part of the whole. One can hold a different view than the majority and remain in the same body, but he is a heretic. Now, with that knowledge, let me read again verses 18 and 19. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are schisms among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, so that those that are approved may be made manifest. Look at that. Why must there be heresies? He says, in order that those that are approved may be recognized among you. What an astounding statement that is. Why are there so many heretics in the church? Hear me out. Why, oh why, are there heretics in the church of Jesus Christ? Why doesn't God just get out his tractor beam and blast them all? Why? Answer, in order to make plain and clear those who are truly preaching and teaching the word of God in truth. I used to argue nicely with the owner of the radio station. I says, why do you leave these heretics on the radio? And he would say, God uses the heretics to separate the wheat from the chaff. Amen. And I didn't see it then, but I see it now. He doesn't take them away. Listen to this, Matthew 13:24. The kingdom of heaven is like a man sowing good seed in his field. But while the men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and he went away. Now when the stalk had sprouted and produced fruit, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the master of the house approached and said to him, Sir, was it not good seed you sowed in your field? Why then does it have tares? And he said to them, An enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, Do you wish then that we should go and gather them up? But he answered, No. Lest gathering up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Then the Lord proceeds to make this statement. Matthew 13:30. Leave both to grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, First, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather together the wheat into my barn. See, there's only one problem. If you don't know the word of God, then you won't know who the real heretic is. Like that old TV show, To Tell the Truth. Will the real heretic please stand up? Anyone remember that? If you don't know who the tare is, planted by the devil, he'll lead you astray. There must be heretics among you. The Apostle Paul says, so that. This is why there's heretics in church. This is why there's heretics on TV, heretic preachers, heretics in the pulpit. This is why. So that those that are approved may become recognized among you. You see, you'll hear the truth. You'll know the truth when you hear it. Am I right, Jimmy? You know the truth when you hear it. You know a lie when you hear it too. There must be, God uses heretics to expose the genuine, real McCoy. He expects you to know his word. He expects you to know his word. That's like recognizing a counterfeit $100 bill. One who works at the bank and handles money all day long can recognize a counterfeit $100 bill from 50 yards. Same as a tare looks just like a wheat until a closer examination of their fruit takes place. I personally, after 20 years in radio, I can hear the difference between an MP3 and a WAV file. It's the same thing with heretics in the church. Heretics exist to advance the body of Christ. Heretics are part of God's plan. God uses heretics to separate the wheat from the chaff. At the end of the age, he's going to use angels to do it, like we just read. I guess I should ask the question, how well do you know the original? How well do you know the original? Can you recognize a counterfeit? God told Hosea the prophet, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. How well do you know the original? Well-meaning Christians have fallen by the wayside for years because of ill-meaning heretics like David Koresh, Jim Jones, or that fool in Miami who calls himself Jesus. And he's got a million followers. How can you call yourself Jesus and have a million followers? How? Tell me. A, you're a fool because you're going to lose your soul. B, you're ignorant of the Word of God. God expects you to know the original. And that's why there's heretics, to help show you what's correct. Also, God uses heretics to purge the church. I would say, of those that don't have faith. God uses heretics to purge the church. Now, let me get back on point. That's just an aside regarding why there are so many heretics in the church. It's part of God's plan to, number one, drive you to the Word. To, number two, purge the church of all those that don't have faith. That's what he does. We're looking at the corruption of the Lord's Supper. Verse 20. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those that have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Wow, is he sore at these people? Have you ever seen such a text as this in the Bible? Paul, so upset like this. For what? For taking communion the wrong way. That's why he's mad at them. Taking communion the wrong way. Now here's where they went wrong. First, we have to have a better understanding of how they took communion there at Corinth. They didn't just pass around a little grape juice, thimbles, that they bought at Christian book distributors. They had full-fledged feasts. They had much food and wine. And these feasts turned into something that certainly was not God-honoring. And probably these divisions and factions pitted the rich and influential and this clique on one side and those less fortunate on the other side. Perhaps they ate all the food and drank all the wine in the name of Jesus. And you've got a man over here hungry, perhaps due to his status, and he was not invited to this feast. So over here, you've got drunk people that drank all the wine, ate all the food, and over here, someone that's hungry and is being shunned by the church. Then in verse 22, you see Paul's response to this. He says, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and disgrace those that do not have? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? I do not praise you. Which brings us to point number three. Number three, the real meaning of the Lord's Supper. The real meaning of the Lord's Supper. Verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. Sound familiar words, don't they, every month in this church? For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, during the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And having given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant or new testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. First off, catch what he says. I received from the Lord. You see that? That which I also delivered, meaning the Lord had given Paul special revelation about how to take communion. The Lord cares so much for how we partake of communion, He gave special instructions to the apostles to share with us what's the right way of taking communion. Now, what's the real meaning of communion? It says right here in verse 24, do this in remembrance of me. Do what? Have a meal, so to speak, just like Thursday passed. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross for you by dying in your place. Amen. Certainly not something to get drunk over, would you think? Or mistreat your neighbor? Or shame someone? God took a body and gave up His life so that He might reconcile you back to Him. That's what we do at communion. We remember that God took a body, came down here, and died in your place on the cross to reconcile you and Almighty God, just like that old picture, back together again. Hallelujah! That's good news! I say that every week, don't I? I make no apologies for it. The gospel excites me. I've been forgiven of much. That excites me. Verse 24 says in the King James, or New King James, my body, which is broken for you. Some translations say given for you. Either way. Listen to what Isaiah the prophet says some 700 years earlier. Isaiah 53:5, it says, He, speaking of Christ Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. This is the real meaning of communion. Do this. Partake of this meal in remembrance of me. The bread and wine signify or represent His body and His blood. His broken body and His poured out blood. Shed for you. And all of you watching here on Facebook, shed for you. God demonstrates, Romans 5 and 8, God demonstrates His own love towards you in that while you were still a sinner, Jesus Christ died for you. On your worst day, in your worst state, every time we take communion, we remember what Jesus did on the cross. By dying in your place, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Someone's going to have to pay the price for your sins. And glory be to God, somebody did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Makes you want to shout. Number 4 on this list. The severe consequences. Should get Rhonda to go up there and spell consequence for us. The severe consequence. I remember the show. Truth or Consequences. For 39 years, I would take the consequence until I ran into Him. And He gave me the truth. Hallelujah. And He took my consequences for me. The wages of sin is death. Now I don't have to die because He died for me. You know, let's bring out the big guns now. I'm happy. Those that have been forgiven of much, love much. There's nothing more I can say other than that. I was worthy of death and hellfire until Jesus came into my life. Amen. Offered me eternal life. And all I have to do is receive Him. Believe in Him. Call on the name of the Lord to be saved. You believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Confess with your mouth that God has raised Him up from the dead. And you will be saved, it says in the book of truth. That's good news. I get you guys for 1 hour a week out of 168. There's enough evil out here to tear you down and depressing stuff all week long to gnaw away at you. By golly, I get you in here for 1 hour. we're going to exalt the Savior in here for 1 hour. Of real, honest to goodness, truth. No pie in the sky. It's the truth. Jesus died for you. By believing in Him, you will receive everlasting life. And He's coming back soon. He's coming back soon. Okay, number four. The severe consequences of irreverence. Verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord. Now my translation says irreverently. I forget what the other ones say. Unworthily is one. Anybody else? 1 Corinthians 11:27. What translation is that, Bill? King James. New King James says unworthy. Whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord irreverently, like having your own worship service, doing things your own way, offering strange fire unto the Lord, touching the ark of God when God commanded not to touch it. Those are irreverent acts. God says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord irreverently shall be guilty. Greek word enokos. It means liable to. Liable to. Run away with that one with your mind. Whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup irreverently will be liable to or guilty of the body of the Lord and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and in this way let him eat from the bread and drink from the cup. For he who eats and drinks irreverently eats and drinks judgment to himself, not judging correctly or not discerning the body of the Lord. The King James says he eats and drinks damnation to himself. King James says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Verse 30. Because of this, many among you are weak. Huh? Come on, louder. Sick. What I see on the TV, people get up and tell me that sickness only comes from Satan. Have you ever heard that on television? Well, I've heard it enough on my radio station to make me sick. Regardless of what men and fools say, the Word of God says, because of this, that is taking communion irreverently, because of this, many are weak. Many are sick, S-I-C-K, sick, and many have died, or sleep. God rules. You see, because of this, that is irreverence towards God, the people that took communion irreverently, many were weak, they were sick, and many of them died.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W230.